Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday edition, so if you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, maybe some personal issue you're dealing with, this is a great opportunity to speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. So call that number, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Monday to you, and happy Monday to our listeners. Glad to be with you as we start this new week together. All month we've been talking about the centrality of relationship as far as Christianity is concerned. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. We've said that time and time again. It's an axiom that, we all hold to as far as Christians are concerned. And that's how we mark the difference between what we believe versus what everybody else believes. Yeah. And we see a lot of evidence for that in the Word of God. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That's the definition of eternal life, and that definition is predicated on relationship, getting to know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, knowing Him, being known by Him. That's the nature, that's the essence of Christianity. Now, we're not going to find that in religion. We have to go outside of the gates of religion to experience what Christ has for us. We read this in Hebrews chapter 13. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. Let us therefore go to Him outside the camp and bear the reproach He endured. So Jesus Christ was taken outside of the city. He was crucified outside of the city. And if we're going to experience the love of God, we have to go outside of the gates of religion to experience God's expression, His demonstration of love through Christ on the cross. Now, that's where we all go when we make that confession of faith. That's where we all go when we believe the good news of Jesus, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised from the dead. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this: Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So this relationship that starts outside the gates of religion at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, where He who knew no sin became sin for us, that relationship that starts there is fulfilled as Christ Himself, the risen Lord, comes to live inside of us, and then He equips us with every good thing so that we can carry out the will of God as children of God. It is Him working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Religion can't touch that. Religion can't bring that about. That's not something that religion can hold up and say, look and see how we are carrying out the will of God. No, religion will never be able to say that. Religion will simply say, hey, we're trying our best. We're trying to improve. We're trying to get better. We're trying to do more. We're trying to climb that ladder. We're doing everything that we know to do. But here, over in Christianity, in relationship land, where we know God the Father and we're known by God the Father and God is working in us, then we're going to be carrying out the will of God. It's rigged in a positive way where it's a win-win situation. We get to know God, and in getting to know Him, we know what His will is, and He empowers us. He works in us to carry that out. Now, I call that good news.
That is good news. That's basic gospel.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think that comes from the Bible, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. It's always good to hear your input. that you share with the listeners every day as we open the broadcast, and today is no exception. So thank you for that. And friends, you know, friends all across the country, across the continent, and in many areas around the world are staying connected with the love of God every day because they've subscribed to the daily devotional. It arrives every morning in your email inbox with an encouraging message from Bob Christopher to start your day. You can sign up at basicgospel.net. Just scroll to the bottom of our homepage, and there you'll see the sign-up form. It's free, and we hope you'll subscribe today. At the bottom of the homepage, basicgospel.net, for the daily devotional. I know you're going to be blessed by it every morning as it arrives, as I said, in your email inbox. Well, right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial right now in the U.S. and Canada. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel and share with us your Bible question or your personal situation, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours over the weekend, as a matter of fact. Let's listen.
Yeah, hi. This is Martin calling. I'd like to know a scripture a little better, the one where it says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. I wonder if you could explain more fully what that means. I'd appreciate that a lot. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Well, that is a wonderful question, and we find that verse in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So Jesus Christ came on the scene not to meet all of our physical needs and all of the things, all of our felt needs, and that is a big word. That is used, a big concept that is used out there. Try to figure out the felt needs of people and then figure out a way to meet those.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is interested in the really deep needs, the spiritual needs. And as we have those met through faith in Jesus Christ, then we can expect all the other things to follow suit. And that's exactly what he says. And all these other things will be added unto you. So our real spiritual need is to be rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Yeah. So that's what Jesus is saying. Seek first his kingdom. That's where life is to be found. That's where God's purposes are to be found. That's where you and I find out who we really are and can actually flourish as human beings the way God designed us to flourish from the very get-go. And his righteousness. Well, this whole passage is in context of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking about self-righteousness or man-made righteousness versus the righteousness of God. And certainly the Pharisees, the religious people of that day, they were holding on to their self-righteousness. They were saying, look at us. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So where are we going to find a righteousness that is greater than theirs? Well, we're going to find it in Christ. And that's why Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not our righteousness, not a righteousness that comes from the law, but the very righteousness of God that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness is not something that we earn. It's not ours to earn. It is God's to give. And praise be to God that he justifies us freely by his grace, that this righteousness is a gift. So he's pointing us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's pointing us to himself. Jesus is saying these words, and he's pointing us to himself because it's in him that we're going to find righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Mm-hmm. This gospel of Jesus Christ reveals a righteousness that is apart from the law. Even though the law and the prophets testify to that, this righteousness is God's righteousness, and it comes to us by grace through faith. So he's saying, you know, you have all of these things, you know, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So God already knows what we need, but he also knows that we need righteousness.
Yeah, right.
And he's provided that righteousness for us as a gift in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying in this particular passage.
Martin, thank you for your question. We appreciate hearing from you. And if you have further questions, of course, don't hesitate to reach out again. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Bob, we're still getting great input about the conference, which is now a week in the past. But this one is from Facebook viewer Max, and he says, the United Conference was not surprising, because I knew it would be great. Loved every aspect of the conference, especially the beautiful interaction with all the attendees. The teaching was spot on for what we're going through in the world today. Thank you all. That's from Max, as I said, who wrote to us through Facebook. So we love hearing those comments.
Yes, indeed. Well, Sharon is on YouTube, and she writes this, I'm so grateful for the teaching. I now know who I am in Christ. Thank you for the good news. And Sharon and her husband were with us at the conference as well. And
yeah.
It's just exciting to see God take the gospel message and the power of his word and just really cut through all of the confusion that we have circling in these heads of ours.
Yeah.
And bring the truth to our hearts in such a way that it brings clarity to our minds, clarity to our thinking, and confidence to our spirits, confidence and assurance. And we have gotten so many wonderful emails and phone calls and that sort of thing since the United Conference about what God did during that 3 days mm-hmm. in the lives of people. And we were just glad to be a part of it. And let me tell you, he did a work in my life as well. And I appreciated being there, being able to teach, but also to fellowship and
yes.
just experience the love of God within the body of Christ.
Absolutely. A wonderful time for all of us. And I share your sentiments on that, Bob. Lots of wonderful people there and lots of wonderful interaction. Steeped in the grace of God, in the Lord Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Indeed.
Well, we have this question from Jeremy from London, Kentucky. He says, I wanted to ask about Romans 11:29. Isn't salvation a gift? And couldn't this verse prove or could be used as God's way of saying salvation is irrevocable? Or am I seeing this verse wrong?
Well, I think you're seeing it wrong, because the statement is very clear that if God has set something in motion, he's not going to pull it back. He's not going to revoke his promise. He's not going to revoke his salvation. And that's exactly what he's saying. So it's very clear. This is kind of like the verse that's in Revelation where it says, God will not blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
Well, that's very clear. God will not, underline that, underscore it, will not blot you out of the Book of Life. Well, and then some people say, well, is it a possibility that he could? Well, he just said he won't,
yeah.
that he will not do that. So take him at his word. That's what faith says. And this passage in Romans 11 is exactly the same thing. He says, let me find verse 27.
I know it's there.
Yeah, it is. It is there. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
Yeah.
That is a very positive statement. His gift, his calling, it's irrevocable. Mm-hmm. And so if he's called us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and we respond, guess what? Salvation is ours.
Yeah.
That's good news. And we can count on that, and we can let this verse be our assurance of salvation, because God isn't going to pull the plug on that.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks for that. And Jeremy, thanks for the question. Once again, friends, open lines, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Again, friends, remember that it's only because you give that others might hear, believe, and live in the good news of the eternal truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. You know, they're waiting to hear this good news around the world, literally, so please log on to basicgospel.net as soon as you can and make a donation to help us keep the message of God's grace coming on the air and online. And when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to support the message of grace on Basic Gospel. And you can make your gift anytime, now or later, at basicgospel.net. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had another question. This one happens to be from Jacqueline from Indianapolis. Does 2 Corinthians 7:14 apply to us today as New Covenant believers, or was it meant for the Israelites at that time? In view of the New Covenant, I do not understand the fact that we live in a corrupt world. Or she says, I do understand that we do live in a corrupt world, and there is always the need to pray, and I do believe that Christians are praying. I hear many people quoting that scripture. Could you please elaborate? That's from Jacqueline in Indianapolis.
Well, Jacqueline, that is a fantastic question. And a lot of times we hear people quoting this verse, and they're applying it to the United States of America.
Yeah.
And they're saying, if we as Americans will humble ourselves and pray as the people of Israel were summoned to do, then we can count on God's blessings. Well, there's a couple of faulty, I think, ideas with that. We're not Israel.
Right.
And this was specifically given to Israel, and Israel was a theocracy, basically. It started out that way, and then the people wanted a king, and so God provided a king. But it was all built upon their devotion to God. Their first commandment, the first law that they were to abide by, that they were to adhere to, was to not have any other gods before the one true God, to not have idols. And throughout their history, even starting at the foot of Mount Sinai, where God gave the law, they had problems with commandment number one. He didn't need 9 or 10. Was a stumbling block from the get-go for the nation of Israel. So they were constantly bowing the knee. And as they bowed the knee to foreign gods, they suffered the consequences of that. Why? Because God allowed them to see that these foreign gods, these idols, had no power in and of themselves. These idols had no power to affect the weather, to bring rain when rain was needed, or to dry up the skies when good weather was needed. That power remains in God's hands. So he allowed them to see or experience the consequences of their choices. And he said, if you will humble yourselves and return to the Lord, then you will be forgiven of your sin. What sin? The sin of idolatry. And your land will be healed. Now, that was a specific promise to the land. There was a lot of blessing, a lot of promise that God had laid out for the people of Israel concerning the land. God took the people out of Egypt and brought them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yet through their turning away from God and turning to foreign gods and idols and those sort of things, the land became more of a curse to the people. And he was saying, hey, I will heal the land if you will allow your hearts to be turned back to me.
Yeah.
So this was God speaking to the people of Israel. Now, we have to recognize that's the group that he was working through back in those days. Today, he is working not through nations. He's working through the body of Christ. We are Christ's body here on earth, and we see God doing his work through the body on every corner of this planet.
Yeah.
And we are bringing blessings to people here in the United States and Europe and South America and Africa and Asia, Australia, every place there are human beings and there are Christians, we are seeing in God work through the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So let's recognize that. Today, God's chosen vessel is the church,
yes,
the body of Christ, and let's just make ourselves available to him to do in us what he so desires, and that will be a blessing to the world, I guarantee you.
Indeed. Thank you, Bob, for that. And Jacqueline, thanks for a very insightful question. We appreciate hearing from you. Bob, we had this one from Shiro here in Dallas. He says, I listened to a preacher say that whenever you die, that's your appointed time to die. It doesn't matter the age or circumstance in which you died. It may be drug dealing gone bad, COVID, accident, or suicide, whatever. I don't know whether to believe it or not, because I know in all circumstances God is able to stop death, but I doubted that dying of drugs at age 23 is God's appointed time to die. Your thoughts?
Well, we see, for example, in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to die. We see that phrase, the famous song that was
right.
That was popular back in the 70s, I think. We also see in the book of Job this verse, Job 14:5, since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. We see here that a person's days are numbered. In the book of Psalm 139, we see this, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So we see the idea of what this pastor was saying. But we have to recognize that in our given time span, however long that's going to be, we don't know how long we're going to live.
Right.
We don't know how many days have been numbered for us. We just don't know that. But we know God does. God knows how many days we're going to be here on planet Earth. And we need to recognize that in those days, there are going to be opportunities provided to us to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. God is going to be making an offer of life to every single person here on this planet. And we're either going to choose to respond through faith and receive that offer of life, or we're going to choose to reject it.
Yeah.
And as people choose to reject the offer of life and then choose to reject it again and then choose to reject it again, mm-hmm. You're going to see in them a hardness toward this good news of Jesus and this desire to continue living life under their own terms, mm-hmm. under their conditions, and putting that fist up to God and saying, I don't want any part of you.
Yeah.
And then when their day of death comes, then comes the judgment.
Right.
That's just what the scripture has to say. So we have to recognize that we've been given life here on this planet, human life, and we've given the opportunity to receive spiritual life, the very life of Jesus Christ. And that message is being spread far and wide. People every day are hearing the good news of Jesus, and that's why the scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Why? Because we don't know. You don't know if you have a tomorrow
right.
in your future.
Yeah.
So today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Receive that offer of life.
That's one to take to the bank right there. Thank you for that, Bob. And thanks, Shiro, for your question. That was a very insightful question, and we appreciate hearing from you. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing this good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ to you, and continuing it is vital, of course. Donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion, our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. And finally, if you have a Bible question or a personal issue you'd like to pose to us, well, leave us a voicemail if you can't hear the live broadcast. If you hear a repeat sometime later than 3 p.m. Central Time daily, well, you are hearing a repeat broadcast, and you can call and leave a voicemail for us with your question at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and we will address your question on the Basic Gospel program. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.